To all in the peerless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, here I am again, thanks to Pastor Les inviting me to fill in for him while he's on a well-deserved trip. And we trust that all of you feel the same, that you're glad I'm here too, filling in for him. I am delighted this morning to say that my wife and I have our youngest daughter, Brenda, and her husband, Jeffrey, and their daughter, Madeline Dale, with us from the great state of West Virginia. And yes, here I am again. My hair is still gray, and my eye is still blinking. And we trust that the Lord will give us a special time this morning together. Did you hear about the young fellow who came home from school one day? And he said hello to his father, and his father said, "Well, son, what did you learn today in school? What did the teacher teach you today in school?" And the little fellow thought about it, and he said, "Well, the teacher taught us to say yes, sir, and no, sir, to our elders." And the father thought about that for a moment, and he said, "Is that right?" And the little boy said, "Yeah." Well, we know that that will not be true of you this morning, but that you will give me your careful attention. And I notice that I have 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
We will see whether we have to take all of it or not. In the mid-90s, Barbara and I, my dear wife, seated back here with my family that's visiting. We went out to the great state of California to visit our oldest daughter, Deborah Ruth, and her family in Eureka, California, over 200 miles plus from San Francisco. And it is indeed beautiful country, redwood country, a delight to be there. And on Sunday, we all gathered in the vehicles to go to church in the city of Humboldt, about a few miles north of Eureka, the home of Humboldt State College, known then as the Little Berkeley. So some of you who might know what that particular little phrase would denote. After a time of chorus singing and testimonies, then the leader said to the congregation, "Our worship time is over. Now the pastor will speak." Well, the pastor gave a very unusual message that day, to say the least. He reported that during the night, he had had a personal confrontation with Satan himself. And Satan was seeking to keep him from preaching the message that he had planned to preach that day. Well, he won the victory, evidently, because he went on to preach that particular message. And on the way home, my grandson Marty, a college student, asked me as soon as the car doors shut, "Well, Grandpa, what did you think of the service this morning?" Well, I did offer a few sage comments and then observed that the leader should not have said, "Worship time is over. Now the pastor is going to speak." Rather, he should have said, "We are now going to have a time of the highest form of worship, the reading and study of the God-breathed Holy Scripture." This is the emphasis in all of the Bible, that the highest form of worship is the reading and the meditation upon and the study of God's holy word. And so let us turn in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Holy Scripture. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it happened. I'll wait just a moment. I hear some leaves turning. Sometimes those leaves stick together. Now it happened as they went, Jesus and his disciples, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And so the message this morning centers on this particular passage of Scripture, which possibly some of you have not seen in the past, as emphasizing the fact that the highest form of worship is the reading of and the study of the Holy Scripture. And here, it was from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So the first main point this morning is to the home setting and the people who are involved. And we note that in verse 38. It was the home of the sisters of Mary and Martha and Lazarus in the village of Bethany, which was 2 miles from Jerusalem. But only Mary and Martha are involved in this particular passage. We do not know where Lazarus was, of course. Maybe he was on a business trip. Maybe he had been called away to an emergency. Maybe he was out golfing, or even better yet, playing tennis. But Lazarus is not a part of the story. And of course, the others who were at the home, the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his disciples, or probably more accurately, his apostles, there were 12 of them. And they were visiting in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now, it's necessary to conclude a few things that the commentaries do not mention. And the one is that Martha and Mary and Lazarus had evidently heard the Lord Jesus Christ in his teaching ministry during his public ministry, no doubt in the Jerusalem area. They had seen his miracles, nature miracles, and miracles of healing people from their sicknesses. And Jesus had preached all over the area of Palestine and even beyond for 3 years of his public ministry. And he preached to large crowds. We know one time to 5,000, another time to 4,000. Everywhere Jesus went, people wanted to hear him and see him perform his mighty miracles. And now he is in the midst of the last year of his public ministry, the third year. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus had obviously believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as Israel's promised Messiah. And they had made it known to the Lord Jesus Christ that they were welcome in their home in Bethany. They were open to both Jesus and his apostles. And the Lord Jesus Christ had obviously sent word to this home that he and his apostles were now going to come and be with them. Personally, the Lord Jesus Christ might not just be making his first visit here. He may have visited here even before. And the text says concerning Martha in verse 36 that she welcomed them into her home. verse 38, excuse me, she welcomed them into her home. Now, this is probably said because she was the one who welcomed them. If Mary or Lazarus had been the one welcoming Jesus, they could have said they were welcoming them into their home as well. Mary and Martha are cited three times in the gospel records. First of all, right here in this passage. And secondly, in John chapter 11, the passage that speaks of Lazarus' death and resurrection. And then on Saturday before Jesus' triumphal entry, on Palm Sunday, Martha and Mary are mentioned. Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 11, John chapter 12. Lazarus is mentioned twice in the Holy Scripture. In John chapter 12, of course, concerning his death and resurrection. And then in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, at the home of a man named Simon, a man that Jesus Christ had evidently cured of leprosy. And this took place on Saturday, the day before Palm Sunday, and the beginning of the week that changed the world. The second main point is that the guests arrive. Well, I've been taking long on the first main point, so I can just sort of spread it out now, because you usually get out here at 12 o'clock. Is that not right? So the guests arrive. Second main point, verses 38 and 39. Jesus and his apostles, where it says that they came to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And this is clearly speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his 12 apostles. Well, there's a large crowd to prepare the meal for, would it not be? The Lord Jesus Christ and at least 12 apostles. We assume that the apostles stayed for the meal, and they came before mealtime. And we surely assume that the Lord Jesus Christ had sent word ahead as to the time of their arrival. However, we notice that the Lord Jesus Christ came for another purpose than merely to eat and have lodging for the night. For the text says in verse 39 that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The Lord Jesus Christ obviously came not only to eat and have lodging, but to teach. And that was his primary purpose for coming, because that was the first thing that he did. And the Lord Jesus Christ made this known immediately upon arrival. After the greetings were over, he made it known that he was going to have a time of teaching before the eating took place. Well, what do you think the Lord Jesus Christ taught about? You say, well, I do not know, because the text does not say what Jesus taught about. But to me, it seems obvious as to what he might have been teaching about. Do you not agree? I mean, it was only 6 to 7 months before the week that changed the world took place. And surely the Lord Jesus Christ began to teach them concerning what lay ahead. The week that changed the world, Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday, without all the details that we know transpired during that week that changed the world, Jesus is teaching them that there are dark days ahead. They will soon see Jesus Christ as they have never seen him before. The Lord Jesus Christ is warning them of what lay ahead for him in the days that lay ahead. Well, we do know that, I think we do know surely, that Mary and Martha and Lazarus knew, were well aware that the Jewish leaders opposed the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw Jesus Christ as a threat to their power, to their position, to their prestige. And they had sought to kill Jesus many times in the early part of his public ministry. And Jesus surely was warning them here that worse days are ahead. And you must be prepared to see me as you have never seen me heretofore during my public ministry. I think that is a logical deduction. You might even say a scriptural deduction, that this is what Jesus was teaching them about there in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Oh, we still have a lot of time left. No need hurrying. The third main point, the situation that developed in verses 40 and 41. First of all, we see what Mary's priority was. Mary's priority was that she realized, because no doubt Jesus made it known, that Jesus wanted to teach. He wanted to teach before he ate. And so she stayed and she sat at Jesus' feet to hear him teach. Would you not like to have been there yourself? Jesus knew that Mary had been helping Martha. And Martha said that very thought in verse 40. Martha said to Jesus, "Mary has left me. She's left me to take care of it all, to do it all alone without her help." So Mary's priority was to worship Jesus, to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his words. What a blessed place to be, do you not agree? To be able to sit at Jesus' feet and hear the master teach that which he was teaching to them. And as I said, I think it was about what lay ahead. Well, Mary is mentioned three times in the Holy Scripture, and each time she is at Jesus' feet. Right here in this passage, and in John chapter 11, verse 32, when Jesus came to resurrect Lazarus from the dead, Mary was at Jesus' feet. And on the Saturday before Palm Sunday, in John chapter 12, verse 3, Mary was at Jesus' feet and anointing him with precious ointment on his head and on his feet. What a wonderful place to be, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And to hear him teach his truth to you. Well, that was Mary's priority. What about Martha? What was Martha's priority? Well, she saw, I'm sure, that Jesus wanted to teach and that he had started to do so. But she chose not to sit and listen. Her priority was to get back to the preparations for the meal. Her priority, according to Jesus in verse 41, that she was worried and troubled about many things. And sitting and listening to Jesus Christ was not one of the things that she was troubled about. She was troubled about her food, the setting for her honored guests, which is a commendable thing. But Jesus wanted to teach before he ate. Well, you can really sympathize with Mary, do you not think so? She wanted all to be just right. The food to be prepared just the way she knew the master would want. and the setting to be beautiful as well. For Jesus and his friends, but especially for Jesus, the honored guest. And she needed all the help that she could get. And Mary was not helping. Well, notice what the result was. The result was, as we noted, excuse me. I think I'll take my coat off. It's getting rather warm up here. I don't know about down there. Okay. A little drink. Thanks to Tom for the little drink. The result was that Martha became rather upset and frustrated, to say the least. First of all, she was frustrated with her sister, Mary. And she said in verse 40, as we noted, she has left me to do all this work by myself. And she was also upset with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Did he not see? Did he not care that she needed some help and she needed it now? And Martha, in fact, proceeded to tell Jesus what he ought to do. Notice it says, verse 40, therefore tell Mary, and implied is, to get up and come quickly. Tell Mary to help me. She has left me, and I need help, and I need it now. So she had the audacity to tell Jesus Christ what he ought to be doing. You know, it's easy to feel that way sometimes in life's situations, isn't it? That you're upset, you're frustrated, there's work to be done, and those who are supposed to be helping you have disappeared and you have to do it all yourself. You know, sometimes it's that way in the church ministry. I found out in my many years in the ministry, I am older than I look. Some people who have many talents and many abilities do little or nothing in the service in the church and leave others to do more than they should have to do. The fourth main point. Oh, we are going to get out rather early here. Let's see. Oh, no, no, no. We can stretch it out a little bit. The fourth main point, Jesus' comments on the situation. First of all, to Martha, Jesus said, Martha, Martha. Notice those words. Verse 41, Martha, Martha. Those are words of strong disapproval, and yet they're also words that express love and concern for Martha. Martha, you are worried and bothered about many things, Jesus said. You're concerned about this meal and the setting. You want everything to be just right. And maybe inwardly, Martha had received compliments before, and maybe she was hoping to receive some compliments again. Martha's priority was all wrong. She neglected the really needful and important to hear Jesus' words sitting at his feet as Mary had done. John chapter 11 seems to indicate that Martha learned her lessons well from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not, of course, that Jesus Christ didn't like a good meal, a well-prepared meal with a nice setting. He walked and he walked and he walked and he walked all over Palestine. And he needed food and no doubt needed quite a bit of it. But at this time, Jesus wanted to teach, to impart truth, and to do that first and eat later. And we ask ourselves again, if you don't mind, what did Jesus teach? Well, as suggested before, it seems rather obvious to me that Jesus was teaching about what lay ahead in the week that changed the world, to prepare Mary and Martha for what lay immediately before them in the next few months, and then in that great climactic week from Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday. In 6 or 7 months, Palm Sunday would be upon them. What should Martha and Mary and Lazarus be doing to prepare themselves for seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that they had never seen him before during that week, Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday? And what about you? And what about me? As it may well be that we are living in the last days of the church age, what are we to be doing as though those who profess faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? 2 Timothy says, chapter 3 and verse 1 says that in the last days, perilous times will come, dangerous times will come. And we have seen a display of that just in the past few weeks in the world in which we live. What ought we to be doing as Bible-believing Christians as we go about our daily living? Jesus further said to Martha concerning Mary, Mary has chosen that good part, the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 42. Mary has chosen that good part, that necessary thing. And that necessary thing was to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear his words. Now the Lord is saying to Martha, without actually saying the actual words, he's saying to Martha, 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 you did not choose the good part, Martha. You did not sit at my feet. You did not hear my words. You're not going to be prepared for what lays ahead in these next 6 to 7 months, and even what is going to lay ahead during that period of time until the week that changed the world actually took place. Now, Martha was busy about something good in one sense and at other times, but she was not doing something good here because she was not hearing Jesus' words. And in the months ahead, the Lord Jesus Christ would experience that which he has never experienced before in life. And they, being in Bethany, will know of everything that will transpire during the week that changed the world. Jesus further said to Martha in verse 42, that good part that Mary had chosen would not be taken away from her. Now, what did Mary hear? What prepared her for now and for the future to be a help to others would not be taken away from Mary. She would be a blessing to others in time to come. And on that Saturday before Palm Sunday, the Holy Scripture says that the Lord Jesus Christ was there and Mary anointed him with precious ointment on his head and on his feet. But Mary, though criticized and condemned by the apostles, led by Judas, and the others followed him, Jesus commended Mary. Mary has done a good thing, And Jesus said, she has done what she could. Are those not beautiful words? Mary, Jesus said, has done what she could. Would to God that Dale Fisher and would to God that everyone in this congregation would do what we could, what we should for the Lord Jesus Christ. No higher commendation could be made than for Jesus to say, as he said to Mary, she has done what she could. Are you? Am I? Doing what we should be doing in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's another message for another time. You tell Leslie you'd like to hear Dale Fisher preach on that message as well. Jesus says, and we want to clarify this one needful thing that Jesus is talking about, because some suggest, as Ryrie does, surprisingly, in his note in the New American Standard Version of the Holy Scripture, he says, one simple dish for the meal is all that is necessary, rather than the elaborate preparations that Martha had made. And so the one needful thing is reduced to just not having those elaborate preparations. Just one simple dish is all that's necessary. Well, this reduces the Lord Jesus Christ to giving culinary instructions. Contrary to the passage, one necessary thing means sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his words, his teaching, and then seeking to put that into practice in one's life. Well, it's time for the conclusion, and it's only 11:30. But I have been known for having long conclusions. Close the doors. From this particular passage of Scripture, many, many comments are obvious. We should invite Jesus to come into our home, into our life, and to hear his words. We can sit at his feet through the pages of Holy Scripture, and we can hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, like Mary, go out and do what we can and be a blessing in the cause of Christ. Of course, Jesus does not come personally into our homes as he did into the home of Mary and Martha. He comes through the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. He comes via the written word of God, the Holy Scripture. And Jesus Christ is the living word of God revealed in the written word of God. Jesus Christ will come into our home, and we, by reading and studying and meditating on and living out his words in life, will be doing what we can for the cause of Christ. And I say concerning every Bible-believing church, if that church is not founded on the written word of God, if it is not grounded in the written word of God, and if it is not bounded by the written word of God, that church will embrace apostasy in time. As it happened in the New Testament era, as it happened throughout church history, and as it is happening right now in the United States of America, all across the country, churches are not founded in the Word of God, founded on the Word of God, not grounded in the Word of God, and not bounded by the Word of God. And all across America, churches are falling into apostasy. And I say concerning every professing Christian whose life is not founded on the Word of God, is not grounded in the Word of God, and not bounded by the Word of God, that professing Christian will just muddle along, making little positive contributions to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And having one, listening to one sermon a week is not enough. Reading the daily bread every day is not enough. You must be taking into your little gray cells the truths of the written Word of God, which reveal to us the glory and beauty of the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. One sermon a week and a daily bread will not do it. I said that at the men's fellowship, and Pastor Les thanked me for saying that. Without a doubt, God's written word, the Holy Scripture, the reading of it, the study of it, the meditation of it, is the highest form of worship of the triune God. It says to God that a Christian believes that the Bible is God's written word and is worthy of our time to read it and study it and meditate upon it. Some say, and my wife told me not to say this because she said I've said this here before, but we will go ahead and proceed. There are some who say, well, Pastor, I have a problem there. I just do not have the time to read the Word of God. The first time I came to this church, it was a Father's Day, and they were giving out a little awards. One of the awards was for those who had read the Bible through, the fathers who had read the Bible through in 1 year. Two men had read the Bible through. One was Dale Fisher, that means one member of this church had read the Bible through in the previous year. Pastor Les wasn't here that day. We have time to watch a football game on television. We have time to go golfing. We have time to go play tennis, like I used to do, 3 or 4 hours, but it was witnessing. I was witnessing to the opposing player. We have time to do what we want to do. And I challenge everyone here this morning to read your Bible through in 1 year. And if you have not been doing so, catch up, so that you do it by December the 31st. Without physical food, there is no physical growth to health and strength. And without spiritual food, the spiritual food of the Word of God, it is impossible that that person can be a strong Christian, because he does not have spiritual food to promote spiritual growth and health and strength. Well, it's time for me to finish and let everyone go out and enjoy a meal together somewhere, or go home and have a meal there. But before we do, let's have a few words from the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, "Do right, for right is right, since God is God, and right the day must win. To doubt would be disloyalty, to falter would be sin. Do right though the heavens fall." So said Charles Spurgeon. And Spurgeon also said, in a little poem of love and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, with the title, Jesus Christ to Me. What the hand is to the lute, what the breath is to the flute, what the fragrance to the smell, what the spring is to the well, what the flower is to the bee, that is Jesus Christ to me. What is the mother to the child? What is the guide in pathless wile? What is oil or trouble wave? What is ransom to the slave? What is water to the sea? That is Jesus Christ to me. And that only becomes a reality, my dear friends, when we are reading, studying, meditating upon the written word of God so that we can see the glory and the beauty and the majesty of the living word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, dear Christian friends at Faith Bible Church, let us sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will press it home to the hearts of all who are here today, and that we will be like Mary, and we will sit at Jesus' feet and hear the written word of God expounded, explained to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, bless this church richly. Amen.